Let's pray together. We thank you, Father, for the privilege we have to study your word. At this moment also, we would like to think of the tragedy taking place in Paris. The many families that are broken, shattered. If we want to remember our French people, and pray that you will comfort the broken, the wounded, and that somehow you will be close to those who are suffering at this point. We thank you for hearing us in Jesus' name. Amen. A man walked into one of my evangelistic meetings one night. And I could not recognize who he was, so I never saw him before. He had not been frequenting the meetings. He just happened to hop in. And as soon as I finished, he left. Didn't even get an opportunity. The deacons didn't even catch up with him. The next night he came back. This time I could at least get a clear view of what he looked like. And he had a mustache, unlike yours. He had it upside down. You have it right side up. It was called a handlebar mustache. How many of you have seen those before? Waxed at the ends, you know. He was bald-headed. Looked like Mr. Clean. And he was very muscle-bounded. That fellow was a, what you call a power lifter. Power lifters usually can press 400, 500, 600 pounds. So this guy was pretty muscular. And his little wife also was a weightlifter. They left that night, and this time they came back the next night and came even closer to the front. And in that particular night, I made an appeal. And to my surprise, he came up crying. And he was embarrassed that he was crying because he had never cried before. And he wanted to talk with me, and I said, well, let me dismiss the people and then I'll sit with you. I dismissed the people and I came and sat down with him. And the man was weeping. And the wife was weeping. And then he threw the first question at me. Can God forgive me? And I said, of course God can forgive you. He said, how do you know? You don't know who I am, what I've done. And I said, it's true. I do not know who you are or what you've done. But I know who God is and what he can do. He said, what do you think you have done that you think God can't forgive you? I have killed 3,500 people. And when he said that, I was stunned. 3,500 people. So I asked him, I said, how did you accomplish that? I was brought up as an atheist. My father was an atheist. He was a hired gun. And one of the things I hated about him was not the fact that he killed for hire. I hated the fact that every time he killed, he always was in hiding. And I just hated that. And I determined that when I was old enough, I was going to figure out a way how I could kill people and not have to hide. So when I was 17, I got the bright idea of joining the military. It was the height of the Vietnam War. So I joined the military. By the age of 18, I became a pilot, helicopter pilot of the Cobra helicopter, which is the attack ship. And he said, I volunteered for every search and destroy mission. And I put a bet against the other pilots that I could kill more people than they could. And I counted 3,500 bodies. And in those days, I had fun. I rejoiced. I looked forward to the excitement. Until I came to these meetings. I didn't know what they were about. We came in here to stir trouble up. We love to go into bars and try to needle people to get upset with us so that we can have the excuses twisting their faces. He said, I loved to hurt people. But now, I'm in trouble. I've never felt this way before. Can God forgive me? What's the answer? The scripture is very plain that when it comes to forgiveness, God can forgive. And I shared this text with him. If we confess what? Our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to do what? Forgive us our sins and what else? I'm glad he doesn't just stop at forgiveness. What do you say? God does not just want to forgive. He wants to cleanse us from all sins. So, when you think of the Spirit of God that works in the human hearts, he leads people to sense their need so that they can come to Christ and seek him. So that's why Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17 ends with this. And the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. And then that hear, say come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Spirit of God then is the agent that is responsible for awakening the human heart a sense of their need or its need. Today there's a lot of misgivings and misunderstandings about the Spirit of God. And so Jesus made a statement concerning the importance of the role of the Spirit of God. And here's what it says. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto man. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, nor in the world to come. Now that's serious. What do you say? It's a very serious statement that Christ makes. That even if you do something against him, you can be forgiven. But you cannot be forgiven if you speak against the Holy Ghost. Now, this needs to be cleared up in order for us to understand what God is saying. First of all, the unpardonable sin obviously is not killing. Because Moses killed, and yet he was forgiven. It cannot be adultery because David committed adultery, and yet he was forgiven. It cannot be cursing because Peter cursed, and yet he was forgiven. So the things that most people think when you ask them, what's the unpardonable sin? Some people say, well, it's saying something foul against God. God can forgive. But when he says that he cannot forgive, it must be serious. In other words, is it possible for these people who just committed this terrible crime in France, is it possible that if one of those repents can be forgiven? What's the answer? Yes. So, if you can be forgiven for the most aggravated sin, then this particular sin must be even worse. And why is it that it's so important for us to understand what God is really saying? First of all, it's important to understand what the Spirit of God is. Some people think that the Spirit of God is a current or an essence, a vapor, but in reality, he is more than that. Here's a list. And by the way, if you want a copy of this list, I can give it to you later. Notice the Spirit of God is called God. He is the third person of the Godhead. He is referred to as He. He comforts, He teaches, He testifies, He reproves, He guides, He hears, He speaks. He can show us directions, commands us, can be grieved, which means he has feelings, can be sinned against, can be quenched from the heart, can bring to our remembrance, makes intercession, which means he mediates, can give power, he is a witness, and directed the New Testament church. So the Spirit of God, then, is not some current or some essence. He is actually a living being who is called the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus, when speaking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus did not understand that there was a Holy Ghost. And by the way, you'll find that many, many churches really do not understand the Holy Ghost. When I was a Catholic boy, I was taught to pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. How many of you have prayed that before when you were Catholic? Okay, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We were told that there was a father who was a real, real strict guy. We were told that there was a son who was just happened to be a man who died on the cross. But we were never told anything about the Holy Spirit. Nobody knew. No one who was Catholic knew anything about the Holy Spirit. But now, since the charismatic movement has come about, a lot of people now think that they know the Holy Spirit. And so a charismatic believes that something that comes over them is the Holy Spirit. Some sensation, some fire they feel inside is the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not a fire that comes into you and makes you feel hot, warm. The Holy Spirit, according to the scriptures, is a person. And when the people and Nicodemus himself and the apostles in Acts chapter 19 did not know that there was a Holy Spirit, Jesus then sought to help them understand what it was or what he was. Notice that Jesus said to Nicodemus, when after several times Jesus said, a man must be born again, and he must be born of the water and of the Spirit, Nicodemus said, what are you talking about? He was a religious man, but he did not know that there was a Holy Ghost. And so Jesus then said, okay, you don't understand the spiritual, I'm going to share with you a natural lesson so you can understand it. So the wind blows where it what? Where it listeth. You cannot tell from whence it's coming and where it is going. So also is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So Jesus is comparing the Spirit to what? Wind. How many of you have seen wind? Any of you have seen wind? No, you haven't seen wind. You see the effects of wind. All right? How many of you have seen electricity? Now you're not going to raise your hand because you're afraid you're going to get it wrong. Right? Yeah. You don't see electricity. You see electricity lighting up the elements. So when you see a spark, that's not electricity. That's the element that has been heated up and glows. When you see lightning, what you're seeing is electricity flowing through the element, and the elements are lighting up. So you never see electricity. You only see the results of electricity. That's why when you put your finger in a socket, you feel it, but you don't see it. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? So wind is not something that you see. It is something that you know is present. So if you went outside and you saw the trees moving, what does that tell you? It tells you that there's wind. But if you don't see the trees moving, then what? Then the wind is not blowing. Do you understand? So Jesus then says, just as the wind blows, and you know he's there, you don't see it, so is the Holy Spirit. When he moves upon the heart, you can tell that the Spirit is moving by the reaction of the person. You cannot see the Spirit, but you can see the results. You can see what? The results. So, the Spirit of God, then, is the one that works on the human heart. Now, that he is a real person is testified by this experience. Peter had just seen a vision. And when he saw the vision, you remember that he said, I have never eaten anything unclean in all my life, common or unclean. You remember that. And so the voice said to him, kill and eat three times, and then it was taken up. Then the Bible says that Peter was doubting in his mind and went up to the rooftop. And while he was on the rooftop, he got hungry and fell asleep. Just like I used to when I used to wait for my mother to finish cooking so I could eat. How many of you have fallen asleep before while mom was cooking breakfast? You remember that? You go to sleep, waiting for lunch, and then mom wakes you up. It's time for lunch, right? So Peter went to sleep, and while he was asleep, the Spirit of God woke him up. And the Spirit said to him, it says, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men what? Three men are seeking thee. Arise therefore and get thee down. Go down with them, doubting how much? Nothing. For what? I have what? Now, does that sound like vapor? Would that sound like a person? That sounds like what? Like a person. It turns out then that Cornelius, a couple of days before, had seen a vision. And he was told to go and send for this guy named Peter, who was down in Joppa, living in the house of a tanner. So the soldiers and the servants went to find Peter. And while they were reaching the house, the Spirit of God told Peter, there are three gentlemen that are going to come to look for you. Don't ask any questions. Just go with them. Why? Because Peter was a Jew and he was not supposed to associate with anybody that was non-Jew. Okay? Now, if you don't understand that, I grew up among Jews in New York City. And one of the things you did not do is you did not touch a Hasidic Jew. Because if you did, you contaminated him as a Gentile. Do you understand? So they were not supposed to touch you. If they did, then they had to wash their hands. And if you see the hands of a Hasidic Jew in New York City, they usually are chapped and bloody because they wash so much that the oils are removed and their hands become very dry. But they want to make sure that they are not contaminated. Okay? So Peter, being a Jew, would not associate with somebody who was a Gentile. So the Spirit of God prepared the way to tell Peter, you need to go with him and don't ask any questions. When Peter went down, he said, I'm the guy you're looking for. What's the reason? And they said, well, Cornelius, the centurion, told us to come and get you. Peter goes back to meet with the centurion, and then he discovered that the Spirit of God had fallen just so much upon the Gentiles as he did upon the Jews. And that's what opened the way for the gospel then to go to the Gentile people. Okay? But it was the work of who? Notice I didn't say the work of what. What did I say? The work of who? It was the Holy Ghost. By the way, in conclusion, it's 12:15. In conclusion, the Spirit of God is the one that convicts of sin. And it's like the alarm clock. How many of you have set your alarm to wake up at a certain time? Any of you? How many of you have decided to push a snooze button? Any of you? And how many of you did not wake up after you push a snooze button? Okay. The warning counsel that God gives is that when a person is being spoken to by the Holy Ghost, he has the opportunity to respond. He could either respond or reject. Those who respond begin to war with themselves. Those who reject begin to war with the agent that God is using, the pastor, the evangelist, etc. Okay? So you have the option to do what? To yield or to reject. God is not the one that makes that decision. God is the one that impresses. It's up to you to yield or to reject. Now, there are some people who don't understand that. And when they're convicted, when the preacher's saying something and they're convicted about something, rather than sensing that the Spirit of God is the one speaking to them, they get mad with the pastor. Did you hear what I said? That's dangerous. That's what? Dangerous. Because here's the problem. The devil will make you impressed that it's the human agent. Because if it is the human agent, it is easy for you to reject them. He doesn't want you to realize that the wind is blowing. If you don't realize that the wind is blowing and you feel troubled and you begin to blame the pastor or the preacher, you are in danger of rejecting the voice of God. That is what Jesus is warning about. Because the only way that God can forgive you, are you hearing me? Is for God to convict you of sin. If God convicts you of sin, with the conviction, he brings behind it the power for you to overcome that particular sin. God will never convict you just to frustrate you and make you feel like it's impossible for you to make it. God convicts you with the power behind to enable you to be an overcomer over whatever it is that he convicts you about. Did you hear what I said? So that's good news. What do you say? Now, if you then resist what God is doing for you in your heart, you stand the chance of turning a deaf ear, just like pushing the snooze button. Until you get to the place where even though the alarm is sounding loud and clear, you don't hear it anymore. And that's why it is dangerous to commit the sin against the Holy Spirit. Because he's the only one that can lead you to repentance. And if you reject the voice of God, you're rejecting the only opportunity that you have, that God provides for you, to gain the victory. Now, I don't know about you, There are times that the Spirit of God had convicted me about something that I did not feel good about. And this is what's dangerous with Pentecostals, charismatics. They're led to believe that they come to church so that they can feel the exuberance, the excitement of the Spirit of God coming upon them. So they believe then that everything that happened with the Spirit is good. Is what? They sense joy, they sense happiness, etc. Okay? Here's the problem. The Spirit of God does not always make you feel good about what you're doing. So when you feel uncomfortable, it is just as much the Spirit of God as when he convicts you about something that you're joyous about. But if the people are taught that the only thing that you experience is joy, then when they're convicted about something wrong, what do? They say, this is not the Lord, this is an evil spirit. And they're in grave danger of rejecting the Spirit of God, thinking that it is a bad spirit. And that's exactly what they said to Jesus, that he was doing his work through a demon. God wants you and me to have a sensitivity to the voice of God. And you sharpen your keenness when you yield to his voice. You make dull your hearing when you resist his voice. And God only brings that to you which will only make you an overcomer, a conqueror. What do you say? That man, that brute of a man, who relic over destroying the lives of people, had never experienced the Spirit of God before in his life until they came to the meetings. And when he said, can God forgive me? And I shared with him 1 John 1:9. He said, how can that be true? And I said, simple. Because he's a gentleman and he keeps his promise. If you will believe him, you will experience in your life not only forgiveness, but the joy of the cleansing that he provides for all who yield themselves to God. He said, what do I need to do? I said, kneel down and confess your sin to God. Ask him to forgive you. But don't just be satisfied with forgiveness. Ask him to cleanse you from all that unrighteousness. He said, gladly. We knelt down, he and his wife. And that man pled with God to forgive him for his coldness, his hard-heartedness, his unfeelingness. And asked that God would give him a heart that he could feel, that he could sense. And a peace came over that man. And when we stood up, I can tell you that that man became a changed man. God convicted him. He yielded to God, and God gave him the victory. I had the joy of baptizing that hulk of a man, and I can testify that he became a teddy bear. God can do marvelous things in the heart of the human being through his Holy Spirit. We must allow him to do that for us. And if there's ever a time when you and I need to become more sensitive to the Spirit of God, it is today, because we've been told that the Holy Spirit will be withdrawn from the earth. Now is the time for you and me to check our hearts and make sure that we're not hardening ourselves to that which God brings to us just because it doesn't feel good. It is well for us to humble ourselves and to allow the Spirit to do whatever he needs to do in our hearts. How many of you are thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit? And how many of you today would like to say, Lord, there may be times when I have not listened to your voice, but forgive me. And please, like David prayed, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Would you join me in that prayer this morning? Would you say amen to that? Amen. Let's pray together. Holy Father, we thank you for all that you do for us, for your wonderful Spirit. And you have heard our petition. Please Do not take your spirit from us. But bring to us whatever we need to overcome in our hearts and lives. Make us like Jesus. And at last, Father, save us, we pray. In his name, amen.